17 past two, let me welcome. This is a friend of the show now, very pleased. He's a treasured comrade in the battle against cigarette smoking, against compulsion, against disorders, anxiety, neurosis, against habitual overeating, against walking into the kitchen, seeing that there's a bottle of red wine that's been open. Well, have a glass of red wine. You didn't walk into the kitchen for the red wine. I tell you, while you're there, raid the biscuit barrel. You didn't walk into the kitchen for the biscuits either. You walked into the kitchen to get the newspaper. You come out with a half bottle of Chianti and about 10,000 calories in digestives. Representing peterfieldhypnotherapy.co.uk. Guess who's here? It's Peter Field. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hiya, Danny. Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
I can't wait to speak to you at the end of January and find out how our guinea pig, the heavy, habitual, highly addicted smoker, got on. I know you treated him yesterday and Monday. We don't want to talk about that just yet. We'll talk about that at the end of January. Good. But I've got a funny feeling you're going to rid him of his habits. Anyway, talk about diets. You're not a big fan of diets. This week, Peter, I am adhering to the Weight Watchers plan. Mm-hmm. I have a point system. Yeah. For example, a banana sandwich on brown bread would be, say, 5 points, I think. Right. I have 32 to use. Mm. That leaves me 27. Mm. For lunch today, I had a jacket potato with 3 spoons of beans with 1 portion of butter. That's probably 8 points. That gives me 15, so that gives me 17 for my tea tonight.
Right.
Now, what am I doing? Because you're poo-pooing this, aren't you?
What you're doing is you're denying your inner self, Danny. Weight Watchers, I'm not going to knock them, they work, they get results, as long as you stick to their program. The problem is, how long can you go on denying and depriving yourself? Danny, you tell me honestly, doesn't it feel like today you were depriving yourself?
And Monday and Tuesday.
And Monday and Tuesday as well. That's because your inner self is saying, no, I feel like eating. And your conscious mind is saying, no, you can't. Don't eat, don't eat. Because that's going to put the weight on you.
So it's a battle between the conscious and the subconscious.
Absolutely. You see, the subconscious mind, I like to call it the feeling mind. And you're feeling like eating. When you go into the kitchen there, you see the red wine. You're feeling like distracting yourself with something in your mouth. Not because you're genuinely hungry. You know, if you only ate what you're required to satisfy your hunger, you wouldn't be eating this way. Your weight would be absolutely fine. Mm. But you're not doing that.
There are so many people listening. You know, Peter, a couple of months ago we were, and it was an apocalyptic tale, but we were reading and hearing that the West Midlands, this very region where we're broadcasting to, is the highest rate of obesity in the United Kingdom. So people listening to me now, relatively proportionally, there's more chance of people listening who are overweight than anywhere else in the UK. Now, are we suggesting here that there is something in our psyche, in our brain, that is dewired incorrectly and we need to rewire it? Is this what we're talking about?
It's what I call the perils of plenitude. You know, today, marketing strategies, the fast food chains, they're out to sell a product. They're out to convince us that we need what we don't truly need. We know that's the basis of all advertising. So what people are doing is they are turning to food as a simple distraction for boredom, for loneliness, for sadness, for whatever negative feeling they're attempting to deal with. They're attempting to distract themselves by putting something inside their mouth. They've been taught that at a younger age. When we're kids, very often we might cry because we're upset about something. What happens? The grown-up comes, mum will come, and she'll put a dummy in our mouth or give us a little bonbon, a little candy, whatever it is, to make us feel better. And it does the trick. For a short period of time, we are distracted. The difficulty is, Danny, the emotional drivers for those uncomfortable feelings remain intact. They're not touched by the foods we put into our body.
So how difficult is it? Just casting my mind back. Let's just say I was upset as a kid one day, and my mum said, "Hey, son, listen, have a Mars bar, you know," and then that made me feel better. And the next time I was upset, my mum said, "Hey, listen, have a marathon, have an ice cream, something like that." So then it became, you know, almost habitual, subconsciously, and I have travelled with that for the 30-odd years since I was first given that Mars bar.
As simple as that. Basically, you're working to a script, more or less, which was written many, many years ago when you were very, very small. Before the conscious mind had an opportunity to really develop its kind of measuring or your yardstick. You know, everything coming from the adult world when we're children, it's not filtered. We kind of accept that as a truth, and we just put it in our minds. We don't re-look at that. We don't revisit it much. We forget about it on a conscious level. But those programs, those beliefs that we can make ourselves better by distraction and putting something into our mouth, they continue to function.
How do you tackle that then?
Well, the only way I've truly found is through the modality of hypnosis and effective hypnotherapy. We reach down within the subconscious mind, we find out what beliefs it's functioning on, what are the reasons for that person attempting to distract themselves, and we give them alternative ways handle it.
Let's just take a quick musical break, and then we'll find out about how this works, about what you have to undergo, and how possibly it can help people like myself who just raid the cookie jar. I've just walked in to pick up a paper. Oh, what's that? I'll have a biscuit while I'm there. Not even hungry, but found out why after the four tops. The mailbox, and it's BBC WM in the company of Danny Kelly, myself, and obviously Peter Field from Peter Field Hypnotherapy, just based just down the road in Brindley Place, and also the most illustrious, prestigious address in the world, I think, as far as medical practitioners are concerned, is Harley Street in London. Peter, so we've just talked about rewiring or delving into our brain and figuring out where and why this habitual element came from, always snacking, and that's something that you can delve deeply into with hypnosis. How susceptible are people to the suggestion of hypnosis? Do some people come in with a barrier? Is it more difficult to work with some people than others?
Of course it is. Each individual's unique, Danny, but the simple fact is, it's not a question of being susceptible, it's a question of allowing. You know, Danny, for hypnosis to work, all that's necessary is that the individual wants it and allows it. Anyone, normal intelligence, who wants it and allows it, will enter in a good state of hypnosis where we can bring about really effective change. You know, Danny, what we're aiming to do, as far as our weight management program is concerned, is to change your relationship with food. It really isn't what you eat. It's how you eat and how much you eat. You know, the old cliche is very true. No food is fattening. It's the excess of food that's fattening. So we want to alter your relationship with food.
Okay, and I'm going to actually go and have a session with you, aren't I?
Yes.
And we're going to report back on the findings later on, probably next week. Peter, so after your session, bearing in mind that I'm positive it's going to be a success, because a lot of people rave about you here in the Midlands. Peter, what will my relationship be with that biscuit barrel and that glass of wine? Afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, you'll be able to take it or leave it alone. Right now, you're not doing that. There's something happening at the subconscious level which is more or less compelling you to say, oh, why not? I shouldn't, but let me have another biscuit. And Danny, how often have you stopped at just one biscuit? It's like stopping at one peanut. You have more, don't you?
Yeah.
Even though you're not hungry. So you're eating for reasons other than satisfying your body's genuine hunger. There's a few things which perhaps the listeners could benefit from. And I've got a couple of articles on my website, peterfieldhypnotherapy.co.uk. A couple of free articles there, which I give my top 10 tips. Things like getting enough sleep. Sleep's important, you know. When we don't have enough sleep, the leptin levels in the brain are reduced. Now, leptin is just a fancy name for a hormone which informs the brain that the stomach's had enough to eat. And when we don't get enough sleep, the leptin levels are vastly reduced. And so the brain doesn't get the messages, I'm satiated, I'm full, I don't need any more. So you keep on eating past your requirements. Mm. So a few tips like this are pretty handy.
And so after the session, once my mind and my brain has been rewired, I will just stop at eating. I don't necessarily, if I have a big dinner, I won't necessarily finish it. I mean, I always finish my food, whether I'm full or not. Invariably, after I'm full, I'll finish it.
That's right.
So now I'll be actually leaving something. Is that right?
So many of us have been taught at an earlier age, finish a plate, think of those starving people in India or China, wherever it was. And that's one of the big things we have to deprogram from a lot of people. The guilt which they feel by leaving things on their plate.
Yeah, some people say it's a crime, don't they? You know, it's a crime to God.
A sin or a crime, absolutely, yeah. But I wonder, really, which is the greatest sin? Putting yourself at risk of heart disease, early death, joint problems, or leaving a little food on your plate. If you start to leave a little food on your plate, the next time you probably won't have as large a portion.
Exactly. So, can I thank you for coming in? So I'm going to book myself into the Brindley Place. We're going to book ourselves into there. We're going to have one or two sessions. Will it be one or two?
I think it'll be a couple of sessions. Danny.
A couple of sessions, yeah. And see how that helps me out with my constant snacking when I'm not hungry. Thank you very much indeed.
That's Peter that. Field. Thanks,
from peterfieldhypnotherapy.co.uk. And as I say, if you just direct yourselves towards that website, then there are plenty of frequently asked questions and also the ailments, the afflictions, the things that Peter believes he can genuinely help you with. But don't forget, you need to be ready for that change. There's no point going in there with any hypnotist, with any hypnotherapist, unless you really are. You've dedicated yourself to change, all right? It's just a waste of your time. It's a waste of Peter's time. More importantly, it's a waste of your money, all right? Okay, we're going to break for traffic and travel very shortly. Then we're going to bring you the latest questions for the Workforce Challenge. And we'll reintroduce you. It's week two. It's 2010. It's a brand new year. And we've only got about 8 or 9 weeks left of the Workforce Challenge. So we'll do the questions. After 3 o'clock, it gets even busier. We're taking your calls, as always, 08453-00956. Here's Greg with your travel. Then you got your news. I'll see you in 3 minutes.
BBC WM.